Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A historic political earthquake has shaken the state of Tamil Nadu, as the Tamilga Vetri Kazhagam, led by actor-politician Vijay, has won 108 out of 234 seats in the recent Legislative Assembly elections, breaking the 59-year duopoly of the DMK and AIADMK. What makes this significant is that this is the first time since 1967 that neither the DMK nor the AIADMK is the largest party in Tamil Nadu. The Tamil Nadu Legislative Assembly elections were held in 2026, with polling and counting completed on 4 May 2026. The results have led to a constitutional crisis, as Governor Rajendra Vishwanath Arlekar has refused to invite Vijay to be sworn in as Chief Minister, despite the TVK being the single largest party. First, let us understand the background of the Tamil Nadu election results in 2026. The TVK's 108-seat performance is a historic milestone, marking a significant shift in the state's political landscape. The DMK and AIADMK, which have dominated the state's politics for decades, have been relegated to secondary positions, with the DMK winning around 64 seats and the AIADMK winning around 38 seats. Now, let us turn to the constitutional dispute that has arisen from the governor's decision. The governor's position is that the TVK must produce written letters of support from at least 118 MLAs, the full majority threshold, before any swearing-in ceremony is arranged. The governor met Vijay on 6th May and 7th May but declined both times to proceed with an invitation to form the government. Crucially, the TVK has argued that constitutional convention and precedent require that the single largest party be invited to form the government first, and then prove majority support on the floor of the House through a confidence vote, not before taking oath. This is the standard practice followed in virtually every state. Vijay has insisted that the governor's demand for proof of majority before inviting him to form the government is unconstitutional and goes against established conventions. It is worth pausing here to note that the Supreme Court has consistently held that the floor of the House, not the Raj Bhavan, is the constitutional locus for testing majority. In the landmark cases of Rameshwar Prasad v. Union of India, 2006, and S.R. Bommai v. Union of India, 1994, the court has ruled that governors cannot demand majority proof before invitation and that the proper process is the floor test. The court has also held that governors are constitutional functionaries who must act on the aid and advice of elected governments as per Article 163, and that their discretionary power to invite a chief minister is narrow. And here is something that surprises many students: the TVK has threatened to resign en masse if the DMK or AIADMK attempts to stake claim to the government through any backchannel arrangement. This move would force a fresh election, highlighting the high stakes involved in the current political impasse. Coalition math is also in progress, with the Congress, which has 5 seats, already on board, and negotiations ongoing with the CPI, CPM, VCK, and smaller independent and regional MLAs. Remember this number, 118, which is the majority mark in the Tamil Nadu Legislative Assembly. Note this carefully, the TVK is currently 5 short of this mark, with 113 seats, including the 5 seats won by the Congress. The left party's national leadership has explicitly stated that it is not appropriate for the governor to demand proof of majority before swearing in, and constitutional lawyers and former judges have described the governor's conduct as clearly overstepping discretion. Now, let us look at the broader constitutional pattern that emerges from this crisis. This is not an isolated instance, as governors in opposition-ruled states have repeatedly been at the center of controversy since 2019 in states such as Maharashtra, Jharkhand, Karnataka, Telangana, and now Tamil Nadu. The Panchi Commission, 2010, and Sarkaria Commission, 1988, have both recommended that gunners should invariably invite the single largest party or pre-election coalition to form the government. What does this mean for India's constitutional framework? The key principles emerging from jurisprudence are clear. The floor test is sacrosanct, and only the elected house can test majority. The gunner cannot be partisan and must act on the aid and advice of elected governments with narrow discretionary powers. Article 212 also makes it clear that courts generally cannot inquire into parliamentary or assembly proceedings, but a gunner's inaction is not protected. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The Tamil Nadu Assembly has 234 seats with a majority mark of 118. The TVK won 108 seats, making it the single largest party, while the DMK won around 64 seats and the AIADMK won around 38 seats. Vijay, the founder of the TVK, won from both Perambur in Chennai and Tiruchirappalli East, contesting two seats. The gunner, Rajendra Vishwanath Arlekar, has refused to invite the TVK to form the government without majority proof. The TVK, along with the Congress, has 113 seats, just 5 short of the majority mark. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, remember the key facts. The Tamil Nadu elections in 2026, the TVK winning 108 seats, the majority mark of 118, and the gunner's role in government formation. For mains, focus on the role of the gunner in government formation, constitutional discretion versus convention, federalism, and center-state relations. The floor test versus pre-oath majority proof and the anti-defection laws inapplicability in the pre-government phase are also crucial aspects to consider. In conclusion, the Tamil Nadu constitutional crisis highlights the importance of understanding the role of the gunner in government formation and the constitutional conventions that guide this process. As the crisis unfolds, it is essential to keep a close eye on the developments and their implications for India's federal structure and constitutional framework. The significance of this crisis extends beyond Tamil Nadu, as it reflects a broader pattern of controversy surrounding gunners in opposition-ruled states, and its resolution will have far-reaching implications for the country's democratic institutions.